Our text for this morning is the Gospel reading, John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. I read for you again these verses. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, when products are advertised as new and improved, the suggestion is that the new is better. What is new usually catches our interest and our attention. But what is new, that is the news, is not always that good. But what makes the news news is that it's surprising, that it's unexpected. What's normal and happens all the time, that's not news. Today's readings tell us about the good news of the gospel, which is truly good, and which Jesus says in our text is related to three things that are unique and new. We see that the glory of Jesus' living love is good news for us, so we glorify Jesus by a new loving way of life, as Jesus' love glorifies us with a new kind of life. Let's think first about how the glory of Jesus' living love is good news for us. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." When an illusionist performs an amazing escape from a box, let's say, he will show you not just his coming out of the box, but first he will show you how he's being chained up or tied up and locked inside that box. That's what makes it so amazing. This is like when Jesus says he is about to be glorified. Our text begins with the words, "when he went out." The "he" that it's talking about there is Judas, who went out because he was about to betray Jesus to his enemies. Jesus was about to be arrested and condemned and crucified. What is so glorious about that? And how is God glorified by that? Well, it's because this is the first part of his resurrection. His being alive several days after this is only glorious because first he died and was buried. If that hadn't happened, being alive 3 days from then wouldn't be glorious at all. But Jesus' glory is not just in what he did. It is especially in what he did for us. Because this was an act of amazing love. When Jesus spoke and fulfilled these words, he knew that he was being betrayed, and that he was going to be abandoned by those he had cared for and loved the most. But amazingly, he keeps on loving them and even dying for them. And so God is glorified by this amazing act of love. This is the glorious good news of the gospel, that God continues to love even such undeserving sinners as us, who continue to go our own selfish way and fail to love and to obey him. And it's also that Jesus willingly suffers and dies in our place, taking on himself all the suffering that we deserve, so that we end up free and forgiven. And that he has then raised to new life so that we can know this and have faith in him and continue to receive his love. And then he is raised to new life so that we can live with him forever. So, both Jesus being transformed to life again after death, and also his love for the unlovely people like us is what glorifies him and glorifies the Father and also makes a difference for us. One difference it makes for us is that now we too glorify Jesus and the Father by an amazing change that happens for us. We glorify Jesus by a new loving way of life. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here is another statement that is curious. Jesus says his new commandment is to love one another. Well, how is that new? The Bible says that plenty of times, all the way back to the Old Testament. But what the Bible says in other places is, love your neighbor as yourself. That fulfills the whole law. But here Jesus says to love others as he loves us. That results only from the gospel. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus contrasts different kinds of love. He comments, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But he says, I tell you, love even your enemies. Even pagans love those who love them. There's nothing special about that. Love means wanting what is good for another as much as or more than we want what's good for ourselves. So, what is it that we tend to want for ourselves? Comfort, pleasure, strength, freedom, etc. Nothing that holds us too tight or challenges us with anything that's too difficult. And so, we tend to love others the same way, not trying to do for them anything we don't really want for ourselves. But Jesus' love for us is stronger. What he wants for us is not just pleasure, but perfection. What he wants for us is not just health, but holiness. What he wants is not our strength, but submission and total reliance on him. He loves those who don't want his love or attention. He reaches out to those who want to squirm out of his embrace. His tough love wants what's best for us. And he is willing to endure the discomfort on both sides in order to get there. This is the kind of love Jesus wants us to have for others, for one another, and also for outsiders. Peter gives an example of this in our first reading. He goes out of his comfort zone to do something new and strange, which back then was sharing God's love with Gentiles. And others recognize that is God's way of doing things. Jesus glorifies the Father by what he does for us in love, and we glorify him in the same way by what we do in love. We're to let our light shine before men so that they see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Too often, the way we get along even with fellow believers does not make either us or God look very good. But when we do love in this way, it's real news, because it's an unusual kind of love that comes only from the work of Jesus himself. One of the things that's new about this commandment is not just the results on the outside, loving others, but what motivates us on the inside. Some of us here are old enough to remember when microwave ovens first came along. The food was cooked, and it looked pretty much the same on the outside, but the difference was it was cooked from the inside. What causes us to keep the commandment of love is not the old, I have to, of the external law, but it's the new internal, I want to, that comes from the gospel. The difference is what happens on the inside. This new way of life happens only when Jesus glorifies us by his love with a new kind of life. Jesus says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Well, that's a surprising statement too. At least to Peter, who in the verse right after this text says, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. So where is it that Jesus is going? Well, right now, he is going to be betrayed and arrested. And he's going to accept it meekly. And he's going to be scorned by those who are more shameful than him. And he is going to be beaten by those who are weaker than him. And he's going to endure it patiently. And he's going to die the most painful and shameful, miserable death while carrying the whole sins of all the world and experiencing all the aloneness of hell. And he's going to do it with gentle strength. Can any of the disciples do this? No. We can't begin to go there. But there's another reason we can't go. When a parent maybe is going to the store, a little child says, "Can I go along?" And the parent says, "No." It's not just because the child is not able to go along, it's because the child is not allowed to go along. When Jesus goes to suffer, to pay for every sin, to face the horrors of death and the devil alone, he says to us, "I'm not going to allow you to go there. I'm going to keep you from all of this." But there's another somewhere that he's going to go afterward because of what he does, and we will follow him. Because he's going to carve out a space in suffering in which we will still be safe. He's going to make a hole through death through which we can pass. He's going to defeat the devil so that we can walk right past him. And we will follow him, not by doing the same thing he does, but by trusting through faith in what he has done for us. He's going to live forever. He's going to ascend into glory in heaven, and this is where we will follow him later, because he gives us a new kind of life. When God created the world, he created different kinds of life. He created plants that are alive, and also animals. They're alive in a different way that plants aren't. Now, sometimes when people have a catastrophic injury, hospitals can artificially do the work of the lungs and the heart and use IVs and kidney machines to keep them alive. But when the brain is dead, people say, "Well, that's not real human life. It's sort of like vegetables." But God made us, people, to be alive in a way that even other animals aren't alive, that is, spiritually alive. So that, but the fall into sin has caused a catastrophic spiritual injury. So the people can still think and act on their own. They can decide and do things that people do, but they're not really alive. They're spiritually dead. But what Jesus miraculously does is bring us back to life again. Not just physical life, not just after we die, but spiritual life that he gives us now and that lasts forever without ever dying. Notice that in verse 33, Jesus calls the disciples little children. This is because, as Jesus says in the reading from Revelation, God makes us his own sons. It's because we are reborn as children of God that we can live now the way that we do, and that we will live the way we will when we get to heaven. In the reading from Revelation, Jesus declares, "I am making everything new." He is doing it already now, giving us new spiritual life that glorifies him by the love that he gives us for others, and that's going to keep on going until glory in heaven. And this kind of new is truly good, because the glory of Jesus' love is, the glory of Jesus' living love is good news for us. His glorious living is surprising because he died, and it's good news because he did it for sinners. And so we glorify Jesus by a new loving way of life. It's surprising because it's love even for enemies, and it glorifies Jesus because it comes from only his love for us. Just as Jesus' love glorifies us with a new kind of life. This is surprising news because we are such sinners. But through faith in Jesus, he leads us to where we cannot go on our own, every day here on earth and forever in heaven. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.